This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
In today's show, we cover the five biggest news stories from the world of Formula One, which this week are F1's back on track, Aston starts the season not a stroll in the park, Ferrari restructure, changes emerge for F1, and details emerge for F1 Academy.
Goodman, and you're listening to the fantastic Cut to the Race podcast.
Hello, my name is Ron Mylander, and you're listening to the Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Rosanna Tennant, and you are listening to the incredible Cut to the Race podcast.
Hi, I'm Jordan King, and you're listening to Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Crofty. You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out, and away we go!
Welcome to News from the Nerds, the midweek news show brought to you by the Formula Nerds. Every week we update you on everything you need to know from the world of F1. We are the Formula Nerds news team. Make sure you keep up to date with all the latest news by visiting our website at formulanerds.com. I'm still your host, James McKenzie, and I'm still happily joined by Sam and Abby. Abby, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you, because we finally got to see some F1 cars actually going around on track in Bahrain. So I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And how is our resident poet laureate?
Stop it. I'm good. It's a Thursday. It's thrown my whole routine out of work. But yeah, I'm glad to hear you're well, James.
It is a Thursday. So yeah, apologies if anyone was waiting with bated breath for our show as normal on Wednesday. But, you know, we thought we'd wait and get one day of testing in for you to talk about, because rude not to, isn't it? And of course, that is the obvious place to start, because Formula One has started. Yes, after what's felt like a very long winter, especially with last season's early finish for the World Cup, the cars of 2023 hit the track this morning for day one of pre-season testing at the Bahrain International Circuit in Sakhir. World champion Max Verstappen topped the times and completed the most laps. Abby, do you want to take us through some of the other main points?
Yes. So obviously, Red Bull only ran Max as their driver for today. All other drivers drove apart from Lance Stroll, who unfortunately had to sit out, and it was Felipe Drugovich who took his place. But there were some interesting things to note. The ride height of the cars is a lot higher this year. I think it's 15 millimetres. It's been raised because of the porpoising. So they will lose pace slightly. We had... Well, one thing was the Haas pit wall, which is deliberately smaller, which apparently is to save the costs, as Crofty pointed out, I think it was. But also the tyres, we see six tyres this year, six compounds. We have the C0 compound added, which is actually the same as 2022's C1 compound, and 2023's C1 compound is the new compound, which can get very confusing. Even the guys in the commentary box were getting confused with all that.
So just so I've got this right, C0 is last year's C1.
Yeah.
This year's C1 is a brand new compound. So 2, 3, 4 and 5 are the same as last year, essentially.
Yes, that's correct.
Basically, C1 is C1.5.
Yeah.
Why have you then thrown in a percentage point? Like a half, you know, it's like you don't want the clarity here, James.
I want all the colours we used to have back. That was fun. Remember when they were like visibly running out of colours and like, well, now this one's magenta.
It was, but also having that many compounds available for the teams, because you basically had to decide what you went for in the range. Apparently, from a strategic point of view, it was an absolute nightmare for the teams, especially when they have to submit their choices so far in advance. So actually just having the three declared for them and then just they decide their specific allocation, I think is a lot easier for the teams. But yeah, I do miss the colourful colours.
Great description.
I do miss the colourful wheels and tyres that we used to have.
Well, we did see some colourful cars on track. We saw the McLaren, which unfortunately the team didn't have a very good day one of testing. They did have some issues on Lando Norris's wheel brows. They were seen putting tape on it, and he did finally manage to get some running time on the circuit, but he was delayed because of that issue. In the morning session, we did see a red flag because Felipe Drugovich suffered an electrical issue in the Aston Martin, which did take a while to fix. But overall, I'd say Aston Martin had a pretty good day as Fernando Alonso finished second out of all the drivers. He completed 60 laps. And we also saw some cars porpoising, but it wasn't the Mercedes that was porpoising. We saw Verstappen and Hülkenberg and Sainz all suffering from a little bit of bouncing, which was interesting. But it was obviously you have to take testing with a pinch of salt because teams are all running different setups and everything, different types of strategy. And it is day one is mainly about data gathering. And whilst last year Verstappen did go fastest in testing and then he did win the championship, and that has happened this year, I think there's a lot of promise from all the cars that we've seen today.
Well, it's interesting to see, Verstappen porpoising because that was never something that Red Bull suffered with last year. They were the only team, I think, who basically never had to deal with it. So for them to have suddenly, just found themselves with this problem on a car that should be getting better.
The only thing I can think of is that it's not been an issue for them. I don't think it's regressed or it's developed into the car by accident. I think they were maybe just being a little bit more aggressive because they're starting from a point where it isn't an issue. So they can experiment a little bit more, even on the first day of testing where some of the other teams cannot. So that is potentially why we've seen more porpoising from them today, and also why they are just clearly looking very, very comfortable at the top of the time board. In fact, Lawrence Barreto, the F1 journalist, was saying that he saw Max Verstappen this evening in Bahrain after the session and had never seen Verstappen looking so confident after a day of testing. So, be on high alert if you're further down the F1 pecking order, because it could be a long, long season again for you.
There weren't really any major talking points, just the reliability issues of the Aston Martin, which was surprising to see considering they didn't really suffer many last year and they have this whole Aston Martin project that will see them being championship winning teams. But it was good to say. One thing I did notice was the Mercedes and the Ferrari on track. There was a social media post of them side by side and it had both cars cut in half and then pushed together. And they are very different designs. The Ferrari is much wider than the Mercedes, which is interesting because obviously the cars have the same set of regulations, but the designs are completely different. But the Mercedes does look very, very cool on track, as I know fans voted it their favourite livery, as F1 reported, and we reported as well. But it does look very cool.
Yeah. We do speak for the people. But you touched on Aston there. And they obviously had a tough start to the day. They sorted that out, but they've had a tough start to the season as well. Sam, do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. So you're probably more than aware by now, but Lance Stroll is out for Bahrain testing. There was a cryptic social media post or announcement earlier in the week where he declared that he'd basically had an accident on his bike. Didn't go into much more detail than that. Essentially in prep for the season, he's injured himself and he's looking to get back, car fit, race fit, match fit, whatever the equivalent is in F1, as soon as possible. We then later were told that it would be Felipe Drugovich who would be stepping in for him, at least in the first day of testing, or at least, for part of testing. There was, of course, the chance that Alonso could just do all 3 days. Norris did that last year when Ricciardo was ill. So that's not unprecedented. And also, Alonso had, at the actual launch for the Aston Martin this year, said that he felt 1.5 days testing was just not enough to get up to speed with a new car in a new team. So interesting they didn't take that opportunity there. I guess they want to kind of hedge their bets with Bahrain being only a week away, the first round. Who do you have in the car? Van Dorn wasn't available for testing this weekend because he is in Cape Town for the E-Prix. So therefore, it was Drugovich. But that doesn't necessarily mean Drugovich will be the one in the car next weekend if Lance Stroll can't race. There is a good chance it is Van Dorn, even though he has less mileage in a modern-day F1 car. He is obviously seen as the more experienced driver. So do you guys feel that do you think they'll go for Drugovich over... do you think they'll go for Drugovich over Van Dorn? Do you think that's fair? Do you think it's a bit harsh on Drugovich? And also, what do you think of Stroll's social media message? Do you think it was enough information? Should he have given more?
With regards to the social media message, I think he gave the right amount of information that he wanted to. He's not entitled to reveal every detail about an accident. I think that's personal to the driver. If they want to broadcast that, they can. If they don't, that's fine. There shouldn't be a discussion of people wanting to know any more than what the driver hasn't given. It was good to see Drugovich in the car. Obviously, F2 champion last year. It was good to see him in an F1 car. As you said, Sam, Van Dorn wasn't available this weekend. I think Aston are testing day by day whether Stroll will be fit enough to return for the Bahrain Grand Prix. Stroll said that he is very motivated to bounce back from his injury and get back into the car and start racing. I do feel that the team will choose Van Dorn over Drugovich, though. I think Drugovich maybe needs a bit more experience in an F1 car. He has only had the morning session of testing and post-season tests last year. I feel like they will go with the experienced driver and maybe put Drugovich in some FP1 sessions this year. But he is part of the driver academy and the reserve driver. So I think it's a toss-up between both. It's down to who Aston Martin feel will give the better results, I think.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like not knowing about accidents, we still don't know what happened to Fernando Alonso in that mystery pre-season test with the McLaren however long ago now, 8 years or something. He's under no obligation to tell everyone exactly what happened. As for, Drugovich, I think it'll be an interesting one. I mean, do you think this is maybe the best time to make your debut? Like when you've done the same amount of pre-season testing as everyone else and you're getting into a car that is new to you and your teammates, is that better?
Well, that's the thing, right? Surely, and I know Williams ran Logan Sargeant a lot towards the end of last season in pursuit of those final few super license points, but surely Drugovich has a comparable amount of experience in an F1 car to someone like Logan Sargeant, who is obviously making his F1 debut next weekend. And Drugovich is the F2 champion. He's no slouch, let's face it. So I think, I think he is more than ready for that opportunity if it does come knocking. With regards to Stroll, what we do know, and it was kind of broken first, the news this is, that he has a wrist injury, which has been confirmed by Mike Crack. Some people are suggesting it's a double wrist injury, so left and right arm, but who knows at this stage. Obviously, that makes things a little bit more difficult, trying to turn a steering wheel. F1 cars obviously do have power steering, so it's not like trying to wrestle an F2 car around the tracks or a Formula E car. It's not quite as an ask in that sense. Yeah, I don't know. I hope to see Drugovich in the car, But I do understand that the team need to make the decision they think is best. And if they go with Stoffel, they go with Stoffel.
I would like to see Drogovic in the car as well, because as you said, James, having it the first round of the season, everyone is in the same boat with the new cars. So that is the best place for Drogovic to make his debut, because if it's later on in the season and you have Alonso performing incredibly well and scoring points in every race and that, and Drogovic comes in, and if he doesn't perform quite as well, then there will be that comparison of, is Drogovic not that good or whatever, because the comparison would be so big. So having him this weekend, or next weekend, would be best. And it would be good to see him in enough, like, do a Grand Prix, because he is the F2 champion. He dominated last season and he does deserve an F1 drive. There just aren't enough spaces on the grid at the moment in time, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, I think it'd be harsh to judge him on that one race. He's gone through the whole of pre-season not expecting to be in the car. It's a quick turnaround. And obviously, F1 drivers are mentally always kind of there, ready to go. Mick Schumacher was saying that he will definitely take that approach this season as a Mercedes reserve driver. But I think it would be a big ask, or, you know, it would be unfair of people to, you know, cast the die on one Grand Prix that, like, that Drogovic wasn't expecting a few weeks ago to be racing in, if that is the case.
It would just be weird it not being Hulk if someone is a super sub. I'm just so used to it being him. Maybe he'll leave Haas and then we'll get someone else in the Haas.
Mick Schumacher.
There you go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Refresh the summer vibes with Tic Tac and you could win a Lollapalooza VIP experience in Chicago. Visit TicTacSummer.com for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states and D.C. 18 plus. Ends June 30th, 2024. Void in PR and where prohibited. See TicTacSummer.com for rules and free entry without UPC.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
But moving on to Ferrari and some restructuring at Maranello. It's been revealed by motorsport.com that strategy chief Iñaki Rueda will be moving to a factory-based role. That's to support the sporting elements of the team. The move comes as a part of a restructuring effort following the Scuderia's ultimately disappointing 2022 season, where an abundance of poor strategy calls and an unreliable engine saw them go from fighting for both championships to barely clinging on to second place in the constructors by the end of the season. Rueda will now take a factory position to support the sporting elements of the team, with Ravin Jain taking over as strategy chief. I hope I said those names right. I don't think I've ever actually heard them read out loud before. But irrelevant of that, what do you guys think? Do you think this is the right call? Do you think it needed to happen? It's obviously, you know, a bit of a statement perhaps from Frederik Vasseur.
Yeah, I think it was an important statement to make, and I think it was also the right decision to make. Out of all the areas that could do with a shake-up with Ferrari, I think it's clear there's strategy. So by making that change, you refresh things, you rejuvenate things a little bit. And, you know, surely it's the best time of the year to do that. Doing that mid-season is just a little bit chaotic. It's much like we kind of knew Binotto was surely on his way out. They're not going to make that change midway through year. They wait until the end of the year. I think it's realistically the same for any kind of key personnel. If you can avoid making that change at that point, you obviously do. So yeah, I'm excited to see what could happen for Ferrari if they can put a strategy together with an undeniable level of pace, and also two very, very talented drivers.
I agree. I think having Zhang come in right now, and also for Vasseur, it's giving the team a fresh start before the season. And Crofty, I think, said on pre-season testing, it's to take Rueda out of the firing line. It's not to demote him. It's to take the onus away from him. Because I think people are quick to blame someone when the Ferrari strategies went wrong last year. And they did have a lot of unfortunate results. They did have a lot of mishaps. But with Zhang coming in, hopefully they can solve them. I think having someone new in the role, fresh blood, will help them. A new set of eyes, new set of ideas. They need to do well this year. There were some strategy calls that weren't really logical and weren't smart, which are easily rectified, I think, which they need to do, because they do have two really good drivers. They are a strong team, but it's just a matter of being consistent and working out those strategy calls to be the best in the race, which they didn't do last year. So hopefully with the new person coming into the role, they can actually make some progress and improvements.
I hope so. It would be good for the championship. You'd imagine. We don't obviously know how things are going to work out this year. But yeah, Vasseur, who obviously joined during the winter break, he previously said it was wrong to blame the season's mishaps on a singular person. He said, "Very often when you are speaking about strategy, it's much more of a matter of organization than just the guy who is on the pit wall. I'm trying to understand exactly what's happened on every single mistake and what happened last year, and try to know if it's a matter of decision, if it's a matter of organization or of communication." Either way, he's clearly decided something needed to be done. And hey, Jane is a graduate of Oxford with a first class degree in physics and a distinction in a master's degree in mathematical and theoretical physics. So not bad credentials when it comes to figuring out when you should pit.
Yeah, clearly no slouch, let's face it. But moving on to action away from the track, this week was the first meeting of the F1 commission ahead of the start of the 2023 season. So there are a few talking points here, a few discussions, proposals from the meeting that is chaired by Stefano Domenicali, as well as the newly appointed FIA single-seat director, Nicolas Tombasis. I hope, again, I'm pronouncing that correctly. He is obviously taking place of Mohammed bin Salim, who is the FIA president, and is also taking a step back from the day-to-day management with the relationship between the FIA and Formula One. So a few of those talking points are, there are some proposed changes to the cost cap. So this would see the cost cap per race raised from $1.2 million to $1.8 million for every race above 21 that you have in a season. So we're at 23 this year, looking likely to be 24 at least in the future. So a little bit of financial relief for the teams, obviously getting down to the wire at the end of the season, increasingly more difficult. And as we know, teams have already breached the cost cap in the first year. So yeah, a little bit of respite for them in that sense. Also, there's been talk of F1 introducing a winter shutdown, similar to that we get in the summer. I, for one, was very much looking forward to a nice break over the summer last year. And then on the first day, Oscar Piastri took out his phone, opened the Twitter app, and blew that dream to bits. Thank you, Oscar. No, but in seriousness, that was one of the highlights of the season for me. So that's another thing that is on the table. In addition, we all know following the Japanese Grand Prix last year that the points deduction for shortened races was a little bit of a grey area in the regulations. So there's been some refinements proposed there to basically, you know, tie up some loose ends, make that more simple and straightforward. Also, there's been some discussions on wet tyres. So there is a new compound of wet tyre which will be available from the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, and it doesn't require tyre blankets. This is part of the wet weather package project, which is focusing on improving F1 in that area. As we know, there's a little bit of a problem when it comes to wet races at the moment. It's very different from how things were 10, 15 years ago, where you could run in very, very wet conditions. The spray is just too much at the moment. So yeah, good to see that the FIA and F1 are looking at addressing that area of the sport as well. What are your thoughts, guys? How do those sound? Any other things you'd like to have been discussed, or is that a good starting point for the season?
I think that's a good starting point. They've covered a lot. It's hard to keep track of everything. With the cost cap, I think that is reasonable. Obviously, F1 is growing in popularity and we are seeing more and more races added to the calendar each year. And it is expensive. It's not just, it's all like the traveling and the logistics and the freight of everything that they have to get there. And traveling, like I'm sure we've all seen the calendar, and traveling from Las Vegas to Abu Dhabi isn't exactly logical, and it won't be cheap. And I know Bruno Michel, the CEO of F2 and F3, also acknowledged the cost of going to Melbourne, because F2 and F3 are going there this year. And it is expensive. So for the teams to ask about having an increase in the cost cap, that is understandable. I mean, Haas have a pit wall that's three seats only, which is a lot smaller than other teams, because it saves them something like $250,000 in travel to transport such a smaller pit wall. With the winter shutdown, that will be interesting, because obviously the teams do a lot of development over the winter and that, but having that period, I think it is good, because they do need a break. Having the summer, like you said, Sam, last year we did have Oscar Piastri and Alpine and McLaren in the news, I'm pretty sure nearly every day, which isn't a break for them because they all have to do things over the summer. So having a winter shutdown would be good. With the wet weather tyres, it is something that has needed to be addressed, and I'm glad that they're doing that. It is an interesting project, I think, if you're really into the technical side of F1, and it will be interesting to see how that new compound comes into play after Imola.
Yeah, I don't have a huge amount to add. I think you guys have covered it all. It's all bizarrely sensible and uncontroversial, really. I'm sure it'll go wrong between now and next weekend. Something will happen.
Yeah, well, and don't tempt fate, James. Like, you know, have some faith.
Yeah, but you know, like Piastri said, it'll be stuff for us to write about. So,
I mean, that tweet is potentially going to go down as the most entertaining F1 related tweet, at least for a while. It was poetic in how it was written, and take it from me as the resident.
Yeah, I was about to say,
You're probably wondering, it took me ages to write that. No, I didn't actually. Another thing that I didn't mention, because it felt smaller than the other things, but there again have been some slight refinements to DRS zones across the calendar. Some will have extra DRS zones, namely Australia, going back to 4, which was proposed for 2022, and then reduced back down to 3. And some will be longer, slight changes around there just to kind of improve racing, hinder or help overtaking, depending on what's required at any given circuit. A productive meeting. Well done to the F1 Commission.
Well, yeah, some productivity. Now, is there the same productivity happening in the F1 Academy, Abby?
Yes, there is. Lots of new details have emerged today about the new all-female series, the F1 Academy. The calendar has been confirmed. It will consist of 7 rounds with 21 races in total. These rounds will begin at the end of April when the F1 Academy goes to Austria, and they will also visit Valencia and Barcelona in Spain, followed by Zandvoort, and then Monza and Le Castellet. And the final round, which is COTA, which is the Grand Prix weekend, because the F1 Academy will be supporting Formula One that weekend. And that is at the end of October, which means that between the final 2 rounds, F1 Academy has over 3 months of a break, which is a very long time. F2 have just over 2 months, but now over 3 months, that is considerably large. But they have also released the championship format, so the weekend format for the season. Each weekend will consist of 3 races, as well as 2 40-minute practice sessions and 2 15-minute quali sessions. Qualifying 1 determines the grid for race 1. And then for race 2, the grid is determined by reversing the top 8 of qualifying 1. And qualifying 2 determines the grid of race 3. Race 1 and 3 are both 30 minutes long, and race 2 is 20 minutes long. Lots of different numbers in what I just said, I know, but it
That's the F1 I know and love and don't understand really for quite a while.
You forgot the plus one lap as well, just to make it even more confusing for people.
There you go. You get 2 points for finishing in pole position in both qualifying sessions. And then for the races, race 1 and 3 will follow the same points system as F1. The winner gets 25 points and then 18, 15 and so on for the top 10. But race 2 awards 10 points for the winner, 8 for second, 6 for third, 5th for fourth and so on. So a lot of new information with the F1 Academy, but it is very exciting. They will have 2 days of pre-season testing in Barcelona in early April, as well as 13 other testing days throughout the season. But it's good to see all this information come out about the F1 Academy. It's good to see that it is actually starting to take place and we do have a structure in place for it. What do you guys think about it?
I think it's really positive. The only thing I can say that is less so is the 3 month wait before the season finale. We know from F2.
That was what I was about to say as well.
Even 2 months from usually Monza to Abu Dhabi is quite a big wait. Obviously, there's commercial and logistical reasons why that is in place, and that is decisions taken. I don't think it bothers the drivers particularly much. It gives them more time to prep before that season finale. The rest of it, I think they've absolutely smashed it. The 3-race weekend, we know that F2 and F3 obviously did it during COVID, but that was 2 sprint races as opposed to 2 feature races. So I like to see that they've improved upon that format. It also keeps costs down for the teams because there's, 7 rounds but 21 races. So in terms of actual kind of races, it's almost an F1 season length in that sense. So some really positive stuff. And also the testing. Testing is so key. This is a central point for the Academy, is getting the drivers in the cars, getting that experience, getting that mileage. So really good to see that there'll be plenty of testing opportunities for the 15 drivers on the F1 Academy grid.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the calendar, it's great to have that many races because, they might be on the same track, but there are so many variables. We've seen in the races that F1 has had to repeat itself during COVID and since, that you can get a totally different race from 1 week to the next at the same track. And the whole point of having more races is that the cream should rise to the top. It removes the likelihood of someone maybe just getting lucky or someone getting unlucky in a couple of rounds if it's only 7 rounds long. So yeah, I think that's all good stuff. And hey, as long as they make it to Austin and have their finale, which I'm sure they will, that's fine by me.
Well, Bruno Michel, who is the general manager of F1 Academy, has said that the championship's goal was to race at as many Formula One circuits as possible, which they are doing in their calendar. But with the gap between round 6 and 7, he said it's mainly due to the fact that they will be sending the cars and equipment by ship to save on logistical costs. So I'm guessing it will be the time it takes to go from France to Austin on a ship. But hopefully we might see some testing throughout those 3 months. I think the testing dates will be announced soon, as well as the remaining drivers. There have been 6 drivers announced so far, but there are still some more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the American piece is key as well. Obviously, as we know, it's a growing demographic for F1. So really positive that the decision has been made that the flyaway race, obviously, or the sailaway race, more appropriately maybe, is in Austin. So that's really good. Also, the point system, very, very similar to F1, F2, F3. So there's uniformity there, makes it easy to understand from day one. And also, the stuff that they're putting out on socials, very easy to understand, very digestible. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I was going to say, if you didn't understand a word of what I just said in explaining the format of the championship, visit the F1 Academy socials because it is in a lot simpler terms.
Yeah, and of course, visit the Formula Nerd socials as well, because I'm sure we'll have some great information on it too. But yes, I think that is about all the time we have this week. Thank you for listening. Be sure to head over to those Formula Nerd socials and, of course, formulanerds.com for the more on these for more on these stories and any others. We'll be back this weekend with the Cut to the Race podcast to let you know about the remainder of the test and make our predictions for the 2023 season. So be sure not to miss that. Until then, Sam, Abby, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us, James.
Now that we have our resident poet who made it so clear that he does indeed know it, well, after his poem, I thought I should show him which one of the team has words overflowing. The editor-in-chief of the Formula Nerds, who could only manage to rhyme that word with thirds. I set him a challenge and he rose to the task, for the host with the most will have the last laugh. So now it's lights out and mic drop, and away we go until our next stop. In the style of Mr. Samuel Coop, I really hope this show wasn't poop. Thank you so much for it.
What are we, 14 years old?
Well, have a better surname.
Unbelievable. Well, Abby, you know what's happening next week, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, funny you should say that. I actually have a published poetry book. So.
Oh my God. It's been holding out on us.
I feel like I've been one-upped twice in 30 seconds. I've been two-upped. Unbelievable. This cuts me to my core.
So next week will just be 30 minutes of Abby reading out her poetry, and then maybe we'll quickly say something about F1.
You know what? My mum actually has a poetry book as well.
Oh my God.
She'll be thrilled that I'm mentioning this. It's a book of poems that are moans. She's called them Moems.
I can see that coming. Yeah.
Tracy Elizabeth Downing artist. She's on Instagram. But anyway, enough about my mum.
So many socials to check out this year.
I know.
This year, this week.
Basically, 7 days on Instagram and then another new show from us.
Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing you then and whatever it holds. So in non-poem form, for now, it is lights out, mics off, and away we go till then.
You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out and away we go.
Sports Social Podcast Network.